like to discuss issues regarding the Nusach HaTfilah for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Gemara tells us in the end of the first parak in Brachas that on Aseres Meitshuva we're supposed to change the Nusach of the Brache in the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei. Instead of saying HaKel HaKadosh, the correct Nusach should be HaMelech HaKadosh. And it's assumed, although there are some Rishonim who disagree, the assumption of Shulchan Aruch is, the accepted opinion is that this is Ma'akid B'Dieved. If a person by mistake says the Nusach HaBracha, that he says all year long HaKel HaKadosh, he has to repeat the Bracha, or if he made a mistake, he has to repeat the whole Shmoneh Esrei. The Chayyodim quotes a Chiddush from one of the Dayanim from Vilna, Rababa LePasvela. Apparently Pasvela is on the outskirts of Vilna. The Chochma Sodom Chayyodim often quotes Psokim from Rababa. He quotes this Chiddush that since Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh, and the Gemara tells us Adin that if a person by mistake forgot Yalav Yovai in Ma'ariv on Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei because they mekachin es haChodesh b'alayla. The question is, what's pshat in that Gemara? What does it have to do with us? We're not mekachin es haChodesh, not by Yom, not b'alayla. So why does that din still apply? But that's what the Gemara says. Ein mekachin es haChodesh b'alayla. Bezin is never mekachin Rosh Chodesh b'alayla. So since Yalav Yovai, if a person forgets Yalav Yovai and Ma'ariv on Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei because of that reason. And the first night, Rosh Hashanah, is the first night, Rosh Chodesh. So also, Emekachan Shachodesh Balaylo. So Rababa LePasvela thinks that if the first night of Rosh Hashanah, a person makes a mistake and he says, Kel HaKodesh instead of Amelech HaKodesh, he shouldn't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So this is very questionable. Many take issue with Rababa LePasvela. Many years ago, Rabbi used to give a Yartzeit Rosha every year on Gimel Shvat. So one Yartzeit Rosha was dedicated to explaining why he didn't agree with Rababa LePasvela. So he gave a whole explanation. You have to understand the Gemara. Why does the Gemara say that Eim Kash and Zachodesh Valada? Why is that relevant to us? We're not Mekadosh Zachodesh at all. So he gave a whole explanation. The Gemara explained why it doesn't apply over here. But there are others who pass like Rababa LePasvela for other reasons, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and others. So that's why it's questionable. The first night of Rosh Hashanah, if a person made a mistake and he said HaKel HaKodesh instead of HaMelech HaKodesh, that's questionable whether one would have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei or not. In many Machzorim of Nusach Ashkenaz, they have another change. Even though the Gemara only has this one change in the Nusach HaBracha, HaMelech HaKodesh instead of HaKel HaKodesh, in many Machzorim you have, instead of HaMavarech Es HaMisol B'Shalom, the concluding Bracha, it says in Nusach Ashkenaz, Oseh HaShalom. In the Nusach Svard Machzorim, it says, even Aseres Meitshuva HaMavarech Es HaMisol B'Shalom. In the Nusach Ashkenaz, it says, Oseh HaShalom. The Rav Chaim Valojiner is quoted as having said, some say that he said it in the name of the Vilna Goyen, that there are three brachas which where the Nusach HaBracha has been changed in our Siddur and our Machzer, and it's not right to change. So one is HaMavarech Es HaMisol B'Shalom, and the Gemara, you don't have this Shinoi. You don't have that the Gemara mentions that you should change it. Where did the change come from? There was some Siddurim where they said all year long Oseh HaShalom. They're Italian Nuschos, but they said all year long, not specifically Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So somehow the minig developed in Ashkenaz that they adopted that Nusach Oseh HaShalom for Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So the Gro was opposed to that. Rav Soloveitchik taught the Svar that even B'Dieved, you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. There was one Balabas who used to daven for Anomet in Boston on Rosh Hashanah, he had Yartzeit. So the whole Tzibur had to suffer because his father died. He's a very nice man, very religious man, but not at all learned. And he used to daven for Anomet. So I remember once he made a mistake. He said, Oseh HaShalom. And the Rav made him say, Over the Bracha B'Dieved. And then he asked by Rabbi Soloveitchik. After that, I said, by Rabbi Soloveitchik, he says in the Siddur, Oseh HaShalom. So the Rav didn't want to get involved in the whole Tzibur. He said, Samisprint. Samisprint. So this is, they quote in the name of Rav Chaim Valojiner also, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that there are another two brachas that it's not right to be Mishana. The first is HaMavarech Es HaMisol B'Shalom. The second is when you duchen on Yomim Tovim. So many have the custom that instead of saying HaMachzer Shechinasa L'Tzion, so he said in the Nusach HaBracha, Sho'oscho L'Batcho B'Yiro Na'avod. So Rav Chaim Valojiner said that's also not correct. It doesn't say in the Gemara, it doesn't say in the Poskim. There's some meaning that developed, that there is. That was the Nusach HaBracha that they said in the Beis HaMikdash, Sho'oscho L'Batcho B'Yiro Na'avod, referring to the Avodah HaKorbanos.
What's the difference conceptually between HaMavarech Es HaMisol B'Shalom and Oseh HaShalom, and why would one apply to the
One is specifically for the Jewish people, and one is in general. We need peace among ourselves. That's, as far as we're concerned, that's more important than the whole world being at peace. It's a different bracha. It's a different idea. Then the third bracha that many of us don't even know exists. The third bracha that's changed is that when you say Ma'arovis, when you say the Piyutim in Ma'ariv, and Sholosh Regalim, and Rosh Hashanah, the meaning is that even those who say Ma'arovis and Sholosh Regalim don't say on Leil Rosh Hashanah. And the official explanation that's given in Shulchan Aruch is because everybody's fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a meaning to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you're going to say Ma'arovis, it's going to take an extra half hour to daven Ma'ariv. You're going to have to fast an extra half hour. So that's why they never composed Ma'arovis for Leil Rosh Hashanah. So I call upon him on the Sholosh Regalim, those who recite Ma'arovis, instead of saying Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, in Ma'ariv, so they say Baruch Atah Hashem Tzu Yisrael Begoalo. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that that's not right. If you're saying Ma'arovis, you shouldn't change the Nusach. The Nusach HaBaruch is Goal Yisrael. The Bali HaTosfos comment on that Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Brachos, when the Gemara says we change the Nusach HaBaruch from Hakel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh, the Tosfos points out that we have another four shinuyim that we add on piyutim, basically. Zacheinu lechayim. In the first bracha we add on michamocha avarachim. In the second bracha we add on achsev lechayim tovim kol b'nei b'risecho. And next to the last bracha we add on misefer chayim bracha v'sholem. And the last, in the concluding bracha of the Shmona Esrei. There is one opinion in Tosfos that if one forgot to say these four piyutim, he has to repeat the Shmona Esrei, but that's not at all the accepted opinion. These shinuyim were not instituted by the Chachmei HaGemara. These are piyutim. It's like if a person left out a piyut, so you don't have to repeat the Shmona Esrei because he left out a piyut. So we assume that these four are not an integral part of the Shmona Esrei. These are additional piyutim. In many communities, the minig is that everybody, the tzibur, sings along with the chazan. The chazan says, these part, you don't sing along the whole Shmona Esrei, only Zecheinu Lechayim and Michamocha and so on. There was a Chassidus Rebbe who wrote a Sefer B'nai Yisoskar. So in his Sefer B'nai Yisoskar, he records that the minig where he was, the minig was that the tzibur only sang along with the chazan the last two, at the end of the Shmona Esrei. Chassidus Lechayim Tavnikah B'nai B'risecha, and B'sefer Chaim Baruch HaBisham, they didn't say along the first two. Rabbi Soloveitchik remembers that that was the minig where he came from also. If you go to Breuers, you'll see that the old-timers, the Europeans, only say along with the chazan the last two. They don't say along the first two. So the question is, why should this be the case? So Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a whole complicated explanation, which is rooted in what the B'nai Yisoskar writes. He writes that there's somehow a difference between the Sholosh Rishonis and the Sholosh Achronis in the Shmona Esrei, and the need to have the tzibur sing along with the chazan somehow only applies in the Sholosh Achronis. Whatever, they're different in Hagit. In the Nusach HaTfilah that we recite on Rosh Hashanah before the conclusion of the bracha, the middle bracha of the Shmona Esrei is the bracha regarding the Kedushas Hayom. So the bracha concludes Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Al Kol Haaretz Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. So before the conclusion of the bracha, we add on a line, Ki ato elokim emes advorcha emes v'kayom lo'ad. In our sidurim, in our machzorim, we don't have that on Yom Kippur. Not for Ma'ariv, not for Shachris, for Musa, for Mincha, for Nila. We don't have it, but we do have it by the Birchas HaTorah. Of all the places. We have it by the Birchas HaTorah on Yom Kippur, that before the person concludes the bracha, Al HaTorah v'Al HaAvodah, so at the conclusion of that bracha you have, so Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that in the Rambam has it by all of whenever you have the bracha of the Kedusha Sayyam and Yom Kippur, namely Ma'ariv and Shmona Esrei and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha and Ne'ilah as well, the Rambam has this Advorcha Emes V'Kayam Lo'ad. So he thought that it's more correct to add that in, not only to have it by the Birchas HaTorah. If you have it over there, it means that it belongs in all of them. Whenever you're saying a bracha regarding the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, this is part of the theme of the bracha. Dvorcha emes v'kayam lo. He added on also that in the Be'er Heitev, in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, it says when we conclude the bracha, we say Dvorcha emes v'kayam lo. One should leave out the word Malkeinu. You should not say the word Malkeinu. So obviously there was a nusach that you say, Dvorcha Malkeinu Emes V'Kayam Lo'ad. And the Achrenim are saying that you should not say Malkeinu. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's more correct that you should say Malkeinu. So his practice was, he privately said it, and he didn't introduce all of his personal minhagim as far as Nusach HaTfilah. He didn't introduce everything for the Shliach Tzibur, but this he did introduce. He insisted that the Chazan, when he repeats the Shemona Esrei, should say this on Yom Kippur as well as on Rosh Hashanah. And instead of just saying a Dvorach HaEmes, he should say a Dvorach HaMalkeinu HaEmes. Likewise, since on Yom Kippur, just like on Rosh Hashanah, the conclusion of the Nusach HaBrach is Melech al Kol Haaretz. You say Melech Melech B'Salech Labadis, and they say Melech al Kol Haaretz. So that's why he thought you should say Dvorach HaMalkeinu HaEmes to emphasize the theme of Malkeinu. Then in addition to that, on Rosh Hashanah, before we start the concluding paragraph in the middle of Bracha, concluding paragraph is same as every Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is the same. So immediately before that concluding paragraph, you have the theme of Malchus. On Yom Kippur, we don't have this. In our printed Machzor, we don't have this. But if you look in the Rambam's Nusach HaTfilo, so the Rambam has that whole paragraph on Yom Kippur as well. Etc. Before you get to Karshen and Mitzvah Secha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik recommended. He personally did it, and he insisted that the Chazan should say it as well, even in the Chazoras Hashatz, that you should add on that paragraph. That's in the, let's say, I have over here Yom Kippur Dike Machzor. So. Then you say Karshenim and Mitzvay Secho. So before you say Karshenim and Mitzvay Secho, that's the concluding paragraph that corresponds to Shabbos and Yontif and Rosh Hashanah. So before you start Karshenim and Mitzvay Secho, so he insisted that you should add on that whole paragraph that we have printed in the Machzor till Malchusa Bakol Mashola. It's a six-line paragraph. On Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara points out that the Nusach of the Shemana Esrei for Musaf is different from every other Shabbos and Yontif. Every time you daven Shemana Esrei, you have Gimel Rishonis and Gimel Achronis, and then you have Brachas Hamtzoyos. On the weekdays, we have a whole bunch of Brachas in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. We have three in the beginning, three in the end, and 13 in the middle. So 13 with the 6 add up to 19. We have 19 brachas for the Shemana Esrei. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, instead of having 13 in the middle, you only have one. You have the one bracha regarding the Kedusha Sayyar. So the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah to Musaf, in addition to the first three and the last three in the middle bracha regarding Kedusha Sayyar, you have to add on another three brachas. One is Malchus, the theme of Malchus, Achronis, and Shofars, which correspond to basically the three principles of faith of our religion. The Rambam says that there are 13 Ikari Hu'amuna, printed in the Siddur, after Shachris, and the Ikarim, Rabbi Yosef Albo writes in the Sefer Ikarim, that basically it boils down to three principles of faith. That we believe in the existence of God, that there's one God, that's Malchus, and then Zechrenis, Zechrenis means that God knows everything that's happening and He gives reward and punishment. And Shofar says that Shofar always comes in connection with Gilu Shechina. So the Shofar means that God can communicate with man, and man can communicate with God. There is prophecy, and where there is Koyach HaTfilah, we can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God did communicate to the Jewish people in the past. He gave Torah and HaShamayim. So these are the three principles of faith. We believe in the existence of God, that's Malchus, only one God, and so on. All the rest are details. But the Rambam spelled that in 13 Ikari Amunah, so Rabbi Yosef Albo boils it down to three. We believe in the one God in heaven above, and He knows everything that's happening, and He rewards the righteous and He punishes the wicked, and He gave Torah and Hashemayim. These are the three themes of Malchus, Achronis, and Shofars. So if you add up the three brachas Rishonis and the three brachas Achronis is six, and you add up the middle bracha regarding the Ketuvah Shel Tzayam should be seven, and you add another two, Malchus, Achronis, Shofars, so that seven and three should be ten. So we don't have 10 brachas on Rosh Hashanah. We have 9 brachas. Why don't we have 10 brachas? So the Gemara says that when composing a Nusach HaTfilah, Danshei Knesset HaGdolah had to have a dugma in Tanakh that such a bracha exists. We don't really know how to compose a tefillah. You have to have nevuah, you have to have koach hanevuah to know how to compose a tefillah. Rav Avinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu davened to God. Yankov Avinu, when he runs away from Esav, he prays HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to compose a Nusach HaTfilah, a person has to have a Korach HaNevuah. That's what Rab Soloveitchik used to quote. Rab Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Sefer Nefesh HaChayim that the Gemara's expression is in Maseches Megillah that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah consisted of a body of 120 Rabbanim, Bobehem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them were several Nevi'im, and they were the ones who composed the Nusach HaTfilah. So why does the Gemara have to add that on, and amongst them is Kama Nevi'im? Rab Chaim Volozhiner says, if not for the fact that Bohem Kama Nevi'im, they wouldn't have the ability to compose a Nusach HaTfilah. How does a normal person know how to compose Nusach HaTfilah? So not only the text of the Tfilah has to be based on Tanakh, in fact the whole Nusach HaTfilah, that's the assumption of the Sefer Avudram and several other Sfarim written by the Rishonim. They assume that every word in the Shemone Esrei comes from Tanakh. It's written in Biblical Hebrew as opposed to Mishnaic Hebrew, as opposed to modern Hebrew. The Nusach HaTfilah is supposed to be Nusach HaVola Brachas also. It's supposed to be in Biblical Hebrew. So the Gemara says that when the Chachamim were interested in composing a Tfilah with 18 Brachas, then they decided to make it into 19 Brachas. And then on a tiny Sibur you have 24 Brachas, because the Chazan adds on an additional 6 in the Chazaras HaShatz. And on Yontif you have 7 Brachas. So all of these, they had to find the source in Tanakh that there is such a Tfilah that consists of 24 parts, 18 parts, 19 parts, and so on. So then the Gemara Bracha says they found a source in Tanakh for a Tfilah that has 9 units. They did not find the source in Tanakh for a Tfilah that has 10 units. There's no such source. So that's why on Rosh Hashanah, although we would really prefer to have a Musaf Tikkun Shmoneh Esrei consisting of 10 brachas, because Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achreinus and Malchus Achreinus and Shofers and the Kedusha Sayyan. We would really prefer to have 10 brachas, but the Balei's Brera, they had to combine 2 brachas together and make it into 9 brachas. So that's why the Mishnah and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has a machleke satanoim, which 2 brachas do we combine together? So Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri's opinion was that Malchus is inserted in Kedusha Hashem. In the third bracha, in the Gimel Rishonis, you have Obas Gvuras Kedushas Hashem. Ato Kadosh Shimcha Kadosh Kadosh Mechayom Yehalu Chasela. So by yes, we finished, right? HaMelech HaKadosh, 1, 2, 3. And Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri was of the opinion, no, you should insert Malchus in the middle of that bracha. The accepted opinion is like Rabbi Akiva, that we combine, and then according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri's opinion, the first, you only have 3 brachas and tzoyos, 3 brachas in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. And the first bracha is Kedusha Sayom only, the second bracha is Zechreinus, and the third bracha is Shofers. So according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, you don't have Malchus, Zechreinus, and Shofers next to each other. Malchus is combined together with Kedusha Sayom, Kedusha Hashem, Ato Kadoshi, Shimcho Kadoshi, you insert Malchus over there. Then the fourth bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei Musaf is Kedusha Sayom only, no mention of Malchus. Then you get back to this. The second and the third brachas of the Emtzois is going to be Zechreinus and Shofers. We have not accepted his opinion. Gemara says in Galil the practice was like Rabbi Yechon Uri, but in most of Eretz the practice was like Rabbi Akiva's opinion mentioned in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that the 2 brachas that are combined are Kedusha Sayyim and Malchus. So Kedusha Hashem Ato Kadosh Shimcha Kadosh is a Bekitza, that's a short bracha. Then the next bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, the first of the bracha, then you have in the middle, you have Malchus Rehne Shofers, the first of the 3 in the middle. Malchus has the 2 themes together. You have Kedusha Sayyim together with together with Malchus. Then you have Zechreinus and Shofers. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa that there was yet a third opinion that apparently was never too popular. Yerushalmi says that in half of Eretz Yisrael and Galil, the practice was like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. But this opinion, the Gemara quotes from the brisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion was that how do you daven on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Kedusha Sayyim is the middle bracha. You only have 7 brachas on a normal yesterday on Shabbos. You have first 3 and the last 3. There's only one bracha in the middle, Kedusha Sayyim. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that's what you do on Rosh Hashanah also. You have the first 3, the last 3. The middle 3 are Malchus, Zechreinus, and Shofers. And Kedusha Sayyim should be in the middle of the middle. I mean, Zechreinus. So you combine Zechreinus with Kedusha Sayyim. So that opinion was not too well accepted. The Gemara does not record, Yerushalmi does not record that ever became too popular. So that's not the accepted opinion. So the Maisa, we have a difference between the bracha of Malchus and the bracha of Zechreinus and Shofers. The Gemara says that when you mention the bracha of Malchus, each one of Malchus, Zechreinus, Shofers, what's the general outline of the bracha? So we start off by mentioning the Iker and Emunah. We believe in Malchus, means we believe in God, that there's one God in heaven above and He sees everything that's happening. We believe in Zechrinus. We believe in Shaifers. We believe that there can be Gilui Shechina, there was, there will be, in the future. So the beginning of each one of these three brachas, Malchus and Shaifers, he started off with a statement of faith. We believe in the principle of Malchus. And then we quote Psukim from Tanakh to demonstrate that this is the case. It's not just Torah Shebaal Peh. It's rooted in Tanakh. And then in the conclusion of each one of the three, the Malchus and Shaifers, we offer a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, you promised us, he said in Tanakh, that there's an Inyan of Malchus. So show us the Malchus. He promised us that there's an Inyan of Zechrinus. You conclude the Baruch of Zechrinus by asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You remember everything that people do, so remember us the Torah. And Shaifers, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Kabbash Shaifer God Lech Everything. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should reveal himself in the future as he promised in Tanakh. So what is the idea of... So the Gemara says there are different opinions. How many psukim do you have to mention in the middle of the Malchus, in the middle of the Zechrinus, middle of the Shaifers? And the Iker Adin, we really paskin, if you say three psukim is enough. If you say one from Chumash and one from Nevim and one from Ksuvim is enough. But L'Hatchila, we say 10. So why do you have to say 10? So if you look in the Gemara, that's Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, others pointed out as well. If you look in the Gemara, it would appear that you say three from Chumash, three from Nevim, and three from Ksuvim, and then you've proved your point. It could be that you're taking one pasuk out of context. If you quote three psukim from Chumash, and three from Dovah Zakasa Batarim, Rishonim Ba'anvim, Mishulish Ba'ksuvim, so if you demonstrate by quoting three psukim from Chumash, three psukim from Nevim, three psukim from Ksuvim, then you've demonstrated conclusively this principle of faith. So why do you need the 10th pasuk? You already proved it. You already proved your point by quoting the 9th psuk. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on the Gemara, would appear in Gemara Rosh Hashanah, would appear that the 10th pasuk really is not for the purpose of proving your point. You start off Malchus Reina Shavis by making a statement of faith. We believe in Malchus. We subscribe to the principle of Zechrinus and to Shavis. And then we prove our point. The point is finished by the 9th psukim. The 3 from Chumash, the 3 from Nevim, and the 3 from Ksuvim. The 10th pasuk really has to do with the Bakosha. The concluding paragraph in Malchus and in Zechrinus and in Shavis is that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill what he says in Tanakh, that he's going to have his Malchus accepted all over. So we start Malchus Kol Halam Kula B'Chvedecho. We start the concluding paragraph. And so on. So in connection with that concluding paragraph, we mention the 10th Pasuk. 10th Pasuk is from Chumash to enhance that Bakasha. Fulfill the promise that he gave us in Chumash. So in Zechrinus and in Shofaris, that's the way the layout of the tefillah is. The 10th Pasuk is in the middle of the concluding paragraph. The 10th Pasuk does not follow. If you look at a Machzor, the 10th Pasuk does not follow the mentioning of the 9th Pasukim. You finish the 9th Pasukim, you finish bringing home your point. You demonstrated that this principle is an Iker and Emunah. And then you say the Bakosha, Zechrinim, Zechrin, Tovah, Lefanecha. And then we say, Komer, Zechayt, Elohim, Bris, Yushanim, Asher, Tzadis, Yosan, Yeretz, Mitzrayim. Or in Shofaris, we say, then we say, as it says, so we always quote the 10th pasuk in the concluding paragraph of the Baruch of Zechrinus and Shaifers to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to live up to the promise that he wrote in the Chumash. The place where we don't have it in the middle of the concluding Baruch is Malchus, and the official explanation that's given by the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch comes from the Rishonim is because we have combined together the way our practice is, we have combined together two different brachas. We combine together the bracha of Malchiyos with the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. We have no choice because we can't have 10 brachas. You have to have 9. The number of brachas has to be based in Tanakh, and they only found Tfilas Chana, as Shem Hashem mentioned 9 times. We mentioned that in Davening also, in one of the Piyutim on Rosh Hashanah. We mentioned that the Nusach HaTfilah of Rosh Hashanah, having 9 brachas, is based on the fact that Tfilas Chana has Shem Hashem mentioned 9 times. So because, so to speak, Malchios is a guest in the bracha here. The 4th bracha on Rishabz and Yantab is always the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So when in Ma'ariv and Shachris and Mincha, that's all it is Kedushas Hayom. Only by Musaf on Rosh Hashanah we introduce Malchus, Zechrinus and Shofaris, and Malchus is a guest over here. So that's what the Mefarshim say. The guest is going to take over. guess it's going to take over. It's going to change the whole Nusach HaBracha. So you're going to insert a pasuk in the middle of the Bakasha. I'm going to say, as it says in Chumash, that's a little too much. That because of the fact that we're combining Malchus with the Kedushas HaYayim, so we're going to add a pasuk in the concluding paragraph. So that's why in Malchus only, this is our standard Nusach, we have the 10th pasuk before you begin. But Lemaisa, it really belongs with the concluding paragraph. So that's Rav Soloveitchik, but every so often when he would give the shir in public to the Rabbonim, to the Rabbinical Council of America, so he would scream out, who is Abal Tfila? Who knows how to dab Nuno? And he would give him a mark and say, okay, Zog, Zog. So everybody would say, Mr. Russell tells Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ay, 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 ay. So he would say, wrong. He say you have to start by Yom Yashem Echad Ushma Yechad. Ay, 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 ay. He said after the 9th pasuk you should have the ay, 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 you should pause. And then when you start, that should go together with Elokeinu Kevasin. Because really the pasuk, the 10th pasuk, really doesn't belong to the other 9. There are 3 parts to each one of the brachas. The first part is a statement of the principle of faith that we believe in Malchus. And then you have the 9 psukim from Tanakh that demonstrate that this is so. And then the third part of each one of these is the Bakashim. And the 10th pasuk really is connected with the Bakash in the end. So he said, here the Mefarshim give this, they quote it from the Levush and from Rishonim like that. They give a reason why we don't insert the 10th pasuk in the middle of the concluding paragraph. Okay, you're only a guest, so you can't take over that much. Malchus took over enough by adding on so much. But to insert the pasuk in the concluding paragraph, that's a little too much. So we say it right before, but it really belongs to the concluding paragraph. It's not really a hemshach of the earlier 9 psuk. But there are some other rishonim. That's our nusach hanfil. There are some other rishonim who say no. That just like in Malchus, we have the 10th pasuk immediately following the 9th psukim. So the same should be the case in the Zechrinus and the Shofar as well. So to satisfy those opinions, Rav Soloveitchik recommended in his Bal Tfila would do like that, that at the conclusion of the 9th psukim in Zechrinus, he would add on, I have in front of me Zechrinus, so the 9th pasuk is, HaBen Yaakov Ephraim Melech Hashem Akein Homo Me'alei Rachem Arachamenu Diyum Hashem. So instead of starting right away, the Rav would suggest you should, to satisfy the other Mishnah Mahal, that the 10th pasuk should be recited immediately after the 9. So you had them add on a Bisaraskal Kosov Leimar, and you say the 10th pasuk that's printed later. So you say it twice. You say it at the end of the 9th psukim, Bisaraskal Kosov Leimar. Then you say it a second time in the middle of the Kedal Kevasenu. Where it's printed in the Machzik. Just suggested to say it earlier as well. In addition to saying the 10th pasuk in the middle of the Bakasha in the Zechrinus, in the middle of the Bakasha in the Shofaris, you should say it again at the end of the 9th pasuk to add on a Bisarascha Kosalema, to satisfy that opinion that you should really have the 10th pasuk always following the 9th pasuk. And the same regarding Shofaris, that in addition to mentioning the 10th pasuk in the middle of the Bakasha, and we add on Kol Mur, so one should add on a 10th pasuk at the end of the 9th psukim. The 9th psukim end, Ken Togen Alam Cha Yisrael Bishloim Echo. So you should add on there. So there, instead of adding on just the same pasuk that we plan to say in the middle of the concluding paragraph of Yom Simchas Chamadechem, Rav Soloveitchik suggested in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes that there are those who are ma'arir. It's machlokes in the Rishonim. Is that pasuk acceptable as the 10th pasuk? The 10th pasuk that we recite for Shofaris is questionable. We say, if you look in Yom Machzor, we say, Yom Simchas Chamadechem Rosh Chachachem, it doesn't say a word about Shofar. That's about Kiyas Chatzetzus. So that's why the Mechaber says there are those who are ma'arer on the 10th pasuk, but the Mechaber says it's okay that you yotze with this pasuk also. So Rav Soloveitchik said, look, if we're adding on already, if we're suggesting we want to satisfy all the opinions, So you want to add on a tenth pasuk immediately following the ninth psukim of Shofaris before you start. So why say that pasuk? We're going to say that pasuk anyways. May as well say a pasuk that muskam l'chaladeis, that all the Rishonim will agree is good. So he suggested we should add on the pasuk that the Gemara says is acceptable. For Shofaris, lehibdavim Yaakov v'loy Rav Mivisal Hashem elokal v'imo utruas melech bo. So the Gemara says that pasuk lehibdavim Yaakov couldn't be recited for Malchias or for Shofaris because it's a truas melech bo. So since it says melech, said it's acceptable for Malchias, and since it says a truas, so it's acceptable for Shofaris as well. So that was his suggestion. After he said kentogar alam chesod bishlemecho, so he thought that it would be a good idea. He had his shliach tzibur say like that. To add on a tenth pasuk with Saraschal Kosev Lema, but rather than to say the same pasuk that we're going to say in the middle of the concluding paragraph in Yosem Chasma Adechim, that's questionable, even though the Mechaber says it's okay, but it was a debate. So he said, add on the other pasuk, Lehibidav Miyakev, Leiro Omel Be Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik knew Rav Baruch Epstein personally, the author of the Torah Tmimah. So he didn't think so highly of him. Okay, they had his likes and his dislikes. So he wasn't so keen. So whenever anyone would tell him something, the Torah Tmimah says, so he right away, he assumed that it can't be correct. Anything he says. So it was brought to his attention that the Torah Tmimah in his autobiography, in his Mekor Baruch, has a complaint about one of the psukim in Zichronos. So he said, yeah, it does make a difference. Well, what's the problem? One of the psukim that we say is Zecher Asel in the philosophy of Chana Varacham Hashem. So the Torah Tmimah has a taina. It doesn't say anything about remembering. Zecher Asel in the philosophy. It doesn't say Zochar Yizkor. Zecher means he did the Nisim in the philosophy in such a way that it'll be public knowledge. It doesn't go on God remembering. It means that God did the Nifloas in a way that people would remember. How is that acceptable for Zecherinus or Absalvation? He said, no, but the verb Zayin Chof Reish appears. So there's nothing wrong. Then after he heard it, so he thought about it a little bit, so he looked in the Rambam. He noticed the Rambam does not have that pasuk. The Rambam has that pasuk, if you look in your Machzor. The Rambam has these two psukim are one next to each other in Tehillim. Zecher Asel in the philosophy, Chana Rachman Hashem, Terech Nasel Lirer, Yisko Liyolim Brisa. That's a perik in Tehillim that goes up the Aleph base. So in the first pasuk, you have one half of the pasuk starts with Aleph, the second half starts with base. Second pasuk starts with a gimel, then it goes with a dalet. So this is zayin ches tes yud. Zecher Asel in the philosophy Chana Rach Hashem Terech Nasi Leviav Yiska Liyolim Brisoy. So you look in the Rambam, he doesn't have a ne'emar in between. He doesn't count these as two different psukim. Zecher Asel in the philosophy Chana Rach Hashem Taka doesn't count. Doesn't count because of the probably because of the taina that the Torah Tmimah has that it's not about God remembering. Terech. The next pasuk is the one that counts. Terech Nasan Liyreyav Yiskor Liyolim Brisoy. That's the pasuk that does count. So the question is, so if you have this pasuk zecher also in the floor, so it doesn't count, so you're missing a pasuk. So you only have you have 8 and 1. You're supposed to have 9 and 1. So what's going to be the 10th pasuk? So Rav Soloveitchik said, add on another pasuk that the Gemara says is acceptable for sure. So that was his practice. He used to add on, Zachar Hashem of Ne'adam, Esyom Yerushalayim. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember. So that's L'chol HaDeis, that's an acceptable pasuk. These were his suggestions regarding the psukim that we have in the Shemoneh Esrei. The Mishnah Brura points out that the answering of Amen is supposed to begin after the Chazan finishes the completion of the Bracha. So he points out that the Nusach of the Tefillah for Yomim Tovim usually misleads the people. Let's say the Chazan says, Kadesh Israel v'hazman. Usually everybody says Amen simultaneously with the Chazan's concluding of the last syllable. So it's a problem. How should the Chazanim sing? So some Chazanim say Kadesh Israel v'hazmanim. So people don't know what happens. So you have to give Zachanetzah somehow. So the same is true regarding the Nusach the Nigin. Same is true regarding the Nigin on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. A lot of times the Nigin that the Chazan sings is misleading to the extent that the people are answering Amen improperly. So that's a problem all year long, but it's more of a problem, the Soloveitchik family points out, it's more of a problem on Rosh Hashanah to Musaf than it is all year long. Why more of a problem? because the Mishnah has either a Takanas Chachamim or possibly a Din Daraisa, that you're supposed to hear the Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. And the Gemara says it's not a Din B'yochid. If a person davens Tefillah B'yochid, he should blow Shofar in the middle of the Tefillah B'lachash, or he should have a Bal Tekeh blow for him. No. It's the Din in Chazaras HaShatz. By many, they have the practice. By the Chassidim, they have a practice. They blow in the middle of Tefillah B'lachash if the Tefillah B'lachash is B'tzibur, if you have a minyan. But if a person davens B'yichidus, so then the Gemara says explicitly that you don't have Tkiyas in the middle of Tefillah B'lachash B'yichidus. The Chassidim have in the middle of Tefillah B'lachash B'tzibur. Okay. So the but the basic, that what's the din that everybody agrees upon? You have the Tkiyas Shofar in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. Now, the Chazaras HaShatz, how is that? That's the Chazan Shmon Esrei. What does it help for us? So the answer is that the Chazan is repeating the Shmon Esrei on behalf of all of us. So it's on Rosh Hashanah, if you want to fulfill this Takanas Chachamim, you have to pay attention to the Chazaras HaShatz from the beginning to the end, from the very beginning of the Shmon Esrei till the end. And you have to listen to every word. So his tefillah, the tefillah of the Chazan, relates to all of the people in the shul on that day. So everybody's yaitzeh with either the din d'oraisa, the takanas chacham, whatever it is, to have the tkiyas al seder habrachas. Now, from the Rambam, it would appear, that's the Soloveitchik family has this chiddush. From the Rambam, it would appear that even though, let's say, if I want to be yaitzeh with your kiddush or your havdalah, and I listen to the bracha and I don't say amen in the end, so the Gemara says, even though lo ona amen, shameya ke oina. Kala oina amen kil hoitzi bracha mi pivdami. If a person answers amen, so it's considered as if he recited the bracha. So if I listen to your kiddush, you have dollar. And I say amen, I'm a yoitze. So even if I didn't say amen, the Gemara says, sukkah daf lametches, shameya ke oina. It's considered as if I said amen and I'm a yoitze. So this is only the din shamea ke'oina, even though I didn't afal pi shaloy ana amin is good, that's on a brachas ayachid, kiddush, abdallah, some other brachas like that. But if you're talking about a chazaras hashat, so you're talking about benshin mizuman, so then there's a mashmois and the Rambam, that's what the Soloveitchik family has this diuk, it's mashma from the Rambam that if you don't answer amen, you're not yotze the chazaras hashat. So then they added on, and if you don't answer amen properly, also, if you answered Amen improperly, it's as if you didn't answer Amen. So it may turn out that you don't even have nine people answering Amen properly in the shul. If everybody's answering Amen with the concluding syllable of the Chazan, so then nobody's properly answering Amen. So it's as if you don't have a Chazaras HaShatz. So you're not Yotze the Tekiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. So that's why on Rosh Hashanah, specifically for Musa, there was more of a Kepeda. All year long, the proper thing is that one should be careful not to answer Amen Chatufa. Not the chap to answer amen. A lot of times in shul, you hear the people, sometimes the rabbanim also, they're chapping us, they're saying amen before the chazan started saying the last word. Sometimes they say in the middle of the chazan saying the last word. That's not right. Or they say simultaneous with the concluding syllable, which is also not right. You're not supposed to begin to say amen till the chazan completes the concluding syllable of the final word of the bracha. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik used to have the practice every year on Rosh Hashanah, he'd give this long spiel. They had a small minyan. They had 25 people in the minyan, and Maimonides, and when he was there, wasn't so crowded. So you make a whole announcement, explaining that they're going to blow shofar in the middle of the tefillah belachash also, in the middle of the chazaras hashatz, and he said, when you daven tefillah belachash, when you get up to the concluding bracha of Malchios, you should pause and wait. He said, I'm going to daven a little louder. He always davened a little louder. Tefillah belachash. The students never knew. They thought it was like a hecha kedusha. They didn't realize that was his tefillah belachash. He said, daven very loud. The students asked him, should we say amen? When we hear you say the bracha, the shlilus shmon esrei. He thought for a while, he said, he doesn't think so, because they're not supposed to be hearing that bracha. It's supposed to be tefillah belachash, he said. They're not supposed to answer amen, because they're not supposed to hear that bracha. But that's the way it was. So Rosh Hashanah, he said that before Musaf, he made the announcement before the Baal Tekeh blew. So I'm going to daven a little louder, like he always did. And everybody should synchronize their davening, but mind davening. So he said, I don't know, I'm older than you. I'm older than all of you. He said, I'm much older. I said, I don't know, I've been saying the Shmon Esrei many more times than you. I don't know how you people finish the brachas faster than me. I know them all by heart. How can you finish faster than me? He used to make this announcement. So he said, if you finish before me, Malchius, wait there, pause there. Because you're not supposed to have the tkiyas in the middle of another bracha. Supposed to have at the end of Malchus, and then if you finish the Zechronis before me, say along with me. If you don't say along with me, if you finish the Brach of Zechronis, before me, so pause then and wait. Wait till the Baal Tekeh is going to blow. And the same thing by the end of Shofars, they should pause. They used to blow tefillas b'lachash, yeah. And then he said, when it comes to the Chazaras Hashat, he said his grandfather Rab Chaim had tefillas b'lachash, had kiyas in the Shtul Shmoneh Esrei in his private minyan. He said in the shul he would never recommend like that because it'll be a balagan. You'll just confuse the whole olam. They'll get all sederay. In fact, Avnei Nezer was a chassidish rebbe, the Sachat Sheva rebbe. So he writes in his tshuvas that what can I do? Shreikta machsidish rebbe. That's what I do for a living. So I have to blow tkiyas and the shtilish maneser. But if I weren't a chassidish rebbe, I wouldn't allow it. because he says no. He says no one knows what's going on. Everybody gets all confused. Rav Soloveitchik only said if you have a small minyan and you think you'd be able to control it, so then it makes sense to have kiyas in the middle of the tefillah balach. But in a big minyan, he thought you should. So then, part of his whole announcement, he would say, when it comes to the Chazaras Hashatz, when the Chazan completes the brachas of Melech HaKadosh and so on, and Malchus Chanushar, everything, all of the nine brachas of the Chazaras Hashatz, you shouldn't begin to recite the Amen until the Chazan completes the concluding syllable of the bracha. You have to wait till he finishes the whole bracha and then say Amen. This was the annual drasha that he would give before the Kriya Shofar began. On Yom HaKippurim, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma that in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz, we should insert a long piyut that gives the whole state of Avodah, that describes in detail the way the Kohen Gadol would do the whole Avodah on Yom Kippur. So we know there are two nuschos. There's a nusach Ashkenaz and a nusach Sfard. In the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the nusach Sfard, they're both full of errors. Nusach Ashkenaz, nusach, both full of errors. The days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the nusach Sfard was more corrupted than the nusach Ashkenaz. So there's a long Beis Yosef. That's the Rabbi Yosef Karo's commentary on the tour. Long Beis Yosef, where there's no tour on that page. No Bach, just Beis Yosef, a whole page long. He took over the whole page, where he corrects line by line the Nusach Svart. And he says, this should be like this, and this should be like this. So after the 1500s, after the printers of the Machzorim were nice enough to look in the Beis Yosef, and they corrected the Nusach Svart, so now it turns out that Nusach Svart is better than Nusach Ashkenaz. And the Hebrew is easier also. So that's why a lot of people would prefer to, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, he would really prefer to recite the Nusach Svard, but he can't. His father and his grandfather said Nusach Ashkenaz, so he says Nusach Ashkenaz. So we should really, some of the corrections that Rabbi Yosef Karo introduced into the Nusach Svard, based on the Rishonim, based on the Abu Dram and other Rishonim, the printers haven't yet introduced into the Nusach Ashkenaz. So for example, one of the corrections that he has is, if you look in Nusach Ashkenaz and Musaf on Yom Kippur, so it's Amitz Koyach is the Nusach of the Seder Avodah. Starts Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet goes alphabetically arranged. Every paragraph starts with another letter. Starts Amitz Koyach is the Aleph, Yosolem, Choshech, Utsalmav, this is Beis. When you get all the way to Tzadikuf Reish, when you get to Reish, Rohat, Vihinicho, Vidam, Par, Notal. So we only, in the printed Machzer, in the standard Birnbaum Machzer, the standard Machzer, it only has twice. Achas, achas, v'achas, achas, v'shtayim, achas, v'sholosh. You only have it twice. Truth of the matter, Kohen Gadol did it four times. He said it four times. So we, in our Siddur, we say, and he did it the way he was supposed to. But the whole, so you could say that, the Kohen Gadol did the Avodah the way he's supposed to. You know, he did the way he's supposed to. He had five pages spelling out exactly step by step. So that's Rabbi Yosef Karo quotes from the Abu Dram. He should add on another two times. In the letter Resh. It has Rikme Parechas Yaz Kimishbat Kapars Vikacho Yamahone. So that's missing in all the Machzor. And then the next line also in Resh, Rogash Vishina Vihizam Idamasar Vikacho Yamahone. So it's missing twice. Kacho Yamahone is missing twice. We only have it twice by the Damapar and the Damasar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we don't have it the two times that he did the Zrika Sachas Lamana Visheva Lamata in the Hechel in front of the Parechas. Those two times we say he did it the way he was supposed to, and we don't spell it out. So that's what the Abu Dram, quoted by Rabbi Yosef Karo, and the Beis Yosef says you should really add those on as well. I don't know why in the Broyas Nusach HaTfilah they have three times, Kacha Yamayim. They don't have two times, they don't have four times. Neither here nor there. I don't know why they have three times. I remember I was once sitting in Broyas preparing the davening before Yom Kippur. someone asked me, what are you doing? What are you learning? So I said, I'm going through the Nusach HaTfilah. What does it say? So I asked them, well, they're discussing here how many times he's supposed to say B'kar Chayimah. So he says, three times. He knew by heart. I said, how can it be three times? No, it can't be. I said, it's either two times or four times. He says, no, three times. So he shows me in the Machzor, has three times. There's mamash neither here nor there. And it's not incorrect, but if you're already saying three times, so you should say four times. The same is true of Bipashtus. How many times did the Kohen Gadol say the Shem Hamforish and have everybody bow down in the Azara? So we only have three times. We have the Kohen Gadol says Vidui three times. And each time he said the Vidui, he would mention Shem Hashem the way it's written in the Chumash, Yudkei Vavkei, pronounce it Kirchsavai. And we say Akanavam, Hom de Mazara, Kishay Shem is Hashem Anichbar, Hayukar Mishtachem Bodim, etc. We say, because he was in the middle of the pasuk, so he would say the word titoru when they would finish saying Baruch Shem Kvar Malchus Eliyahu Nevoi. So we only have this three times. Many say that it's not correct that there should be a fourth time when the Kohen Gadol determines when he had the Shnei Sirei Yom HaKippurim, and he draws a lottery to determine which one is the Sor LaHashem and which is the Sor LaZazel. So we say, Tzanach v'higri l'shem gavoya v'latzuk. He determines which is going to be the Sor LaHashem, which is going to be the Sor LaZazel. Tzak b'kol rom l'Hashem chatos. And then before you continue, this is in the letter Tzadik. We started Aleph, Beis, Gimel all the way towards the end. We're in the middle of Tzadik here. So after Tzak b'kol rom l'Hashem chatos, so then a lot of Achrayim say this was also done by Kol Rav, so that you should add on the paragraph. You can't continue. He didn't say Titor. He wasn't saying a pasuk over here. He just said Lashem Chatos. But you should say the first paragraph. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik introduced in his shul that they should say a fourth time. In fact, he introduced also that they should kneel. The meaning is that the whole Sefer kneels these four times, not only the three times, the four times everybody kneels. Some, they quote from the first Lubavitcher Rebbe that his practice was, he said Akanavaham four times. He said Rabbi Hashem Chatos, he said Akanavaham, but they didn't kneel for some historical reason. I don't know, they didn't kneel. So Rav Soloveitchik introduced the practice in his shul that they said a fourth time after Hashem Chatos said Akanavaham, and that the whole tzibur would kneel at that time as well. In the Shulchan Aruch, they mention that when one is reciting the Vidui on Yom Kippur, one leans over, Shamda Magadni, he leans over a little bit. So the Mate Ephraim writes that the same is true regarding the Vidui of the Kohen Gadol that we recite in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz. We say, V'kachaya oimo, an Hashem chatos avise pashayte lefanecho. The second time he says, and then the third time when he says, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, and so on. So the minig is, that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to do. That's what the Achrenim write. The minig is that when one recites that vidu, one should lean over, recite the vidu bishchiyo, like we do when we say Hashem demagadnum. It's not just history that we're saying, this is what the Kohen Gadol used to do. If a kneeling on the floor to make a zecher to what used to be, so we should lean over a little bit to make a zecher to where the Kohen Gadol recited the Vidui on Yom Kippur as well. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that when he was in Lithuania, he didn't remember ever noticing that the women would kneel on the floor when the Chazan got to Akanavam Hom de Mazar. He said only the men would kneel. And the first time he ever noticed it was in Germany. So he started to wonder how come in Eastern Europe they didn't have such a practice. So after thinking about it for a while, he mentioned in the yeshiva, he mentioned that the Meforshim on the Machzor write, Akanavam Hom de Mazara, only those who were in the Azara would kneel. Those who were Chutz L'Azara would only say, Baruch Shem Kvei Malchus Eliyahu Nevoi, because Hishtachavoya, to kneel, is only a Kiyom in the Beis HaMikdash. This is learned out from the Pasuk that happens to be in the Parsha of Bikurim. It says, V'yishtach avisa lefnei Hashem alakech. Yishtach voya is not part of the mitzvah of Havoas Bikurim. It's from that pasuk, the Vilna Goyen writes in his commentary on Mishnah's Bikurim. That's from that pasuk in Parsha's Bikurim that we derive the principle that whoever enters the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't leave without doing a yishtach voya. The Mishnah describes that every day of the year, when a kohen, one kohen would do the shechita, another kohen would do this kabbalas adam, lochas adam, zukas adam. Every kohen would do some little avodah. So it always ends off in the Mishnah's Talmud, hishtachav avayotza. Every kohen who did a little bit of an avodah, they would be mishtach and they would leave. So how did the Tanoim know? How did they know in the Bais Sheni that that's what they're supposed to do? So the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Mishnah's Bikurim says that it's based on that pasuk. That it says in Bikurim, Mishtach v'yisilof ne'ash ha'makech, Mishtach v'yisilof is not really part of Havas Bikurim. It's a general din, it's a universal din. Whoever is nichnas la'azara should be Mishtach v'yisilof. So it's only a kiyam in azara. Chutz la'azara, we don't do Hishtach v'yisilof. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik thought that in Eastern Europe the practice was that the women never were mishtachva, because in the Beis HaMikdash the women were never in the Azar. The women were always in the Ezra's Nashim. The Ezra's Nashim only had Kedushas Harabais, didn't have Kedushas Azara. The men who were in the Azara, that HaKohanim Ham Ham the Azara, Sheshem HaShem HaNichba, HaYikar Mishtachva Mamodi. The Yerushalmi says the Krovim would be mishtachva, and the Rechokim would only say Baruch Shem Kvayim Achus HaLiyonvot. So the Meforshim on the Siddur, on the Machzor, if you look in the Eitz HaTfilos, Rabbi Shai Berlin explains like this. Who are the Kerovim, who are the Rechoikim? So the Kerovim refers to those who were in the Azara. The Rechoikim were those who were outside of the Azara. So the women were always outside of the Azara. They were in the Ezos Noshim, which is not Azara, it's Harabais. So they would only say, Baruch Shem, Kerovim, Achlus, and Levod. The Kerovim, those who were in the Azara, as we say, Akan Vam, Hom, Dim Azara, they would be Korea, Meshtachve, and so on. The Orach HaShulchan has a complaint against the printers that they left out all of the slichas and the davening on Yom Kippur. They only left in by Meiriv and by Ne'ila and by Shachris and Musaf and Mincha. They took out all the slichas. And the days of the Gaonim and the days of the Rishonim, it's very clear that they said many, many slichas in each Manasseh. And the Rishonim have different traditions. How many times do you say Yud Gimel Linus in each one of the Tfilos of Shemon Esrei? So they say in this Tfilah they say 7 times, 13 times, 6 times, 3 times. So they have different numbers how many times. So Soloveitchik also said like that if it won't cause a world war to erupt in Yeshul, he used to encourage the Rabbanim that they should introduce the reciting of Slichas. Darach HaShulchan complains, he says the printers decided to do this. Printers left it out. And they left in small letters, Kan Omrim Slichas. And they didn't write what the Slichas are. And then in the later years, since it doesn't say what the Slichas are, so they left out the little letters. It doesn't say Kan Omrim Slichas. So that's what really more correct is. At the end of Yalav Yavoy, when the Chazan finishes, Kikel Melech Anun V'rachu Mato. So it's before you go weiter, so that's where it's Kan Omrim Slichas. So you should pick some slichas. If you're picking already, if you don't, so let's say in the yeshiva here, so they pick slichas that are, there are some slichas that are in difficult Hebrew, some slichas are in easier Hebrew. So they pick some that are in easier Hebrew, that the people should know what they're saying, instead of picking the more difficult ones. And you should try, Rav Soloveitchik thought, you should try to say 7 times, Yud Gimel Midas, in each one of the tefillas. He said, you don't have to say such a long piyut. In order to say once Yud Gimel Midas, you can, every at the end of every stanza, the end of every paragraph in the slicha, you can say the Kel Malach Hirshabakisa Rafi. You can say the Yud Gimel Midas 7 times in one slicha. You don't have to say 7 long slichas. Say 7 paragraphs in one slicha, and at the conclusion of each paragraph, you can say the Yud Gimel Midas. The Magen Avraham quotes the Minhag HaArizal that although normally we are not mafsik in between Yishtabach and Birchas Kriya Shema. In fact, the Mishnah in Soita has a Machlokes HaTanoim. One who's a Bala Veira is not accepted into the army. In the Israeli army, they're only supposed to take Hezdenikim, only religious people. So there's a Machlokes HaTanoim. What if he only violates an Avera Deravon? If he violates an Avera Deraisa, all the Tanoim agree that you can't accept him in the army. What if he only violates an Avera Deravon? It's a Machlokes HaTanoim. So what's an example of an Avera Deravon? So the Babli gives a mashal hasach bein tefillah letefillah. One who talks in between tefillah shal yad and tefillah shal rosh is garim bracha shein etzvicha. He has to say an extra bracha over the shal rosh. And Yerushalmi gives the mashal hasach bein yishtabach liyotze, that you're not allowed to talk in between yishtabach and birchas kriyashma. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Arizal that he introduced the reciting of Shir HaMalos Mimamakim, And the Magen Avraham thinks that that it's problematic. That's why Nusach Ashkenaz always was that you don't say Shem Aleph. Nusach Sfard was Arizal is Nusach Ari. So Nusach Ari, they say Shem Aleph. And Nusach Ashkenaz, those really daven Nusach Ashkenaz, they don't say any Shem Aleph. So Rav Soloveitchik also thought that if we're davening Nusach Ashkenaz, he thought that it's not right to recite the Shem Aleph here. The minig is that the Chazan offers a tefillah before he starts Musaf Hidani Hani Mimas, and then after he completes the Hidani Hani Mimas, then he says the Kaddish preceding Musaf. So there is a big machlokes in Rishonim and in Achronim. The Maram Shik has a tshuva about this, and other parts can talk about it. What is the status of the Kaddish, that the Chatzi Kaddish that the Chazan recites before he begins, before everybody starts davening the tefillah balachash of Musaf? Is it a kaddish that introduces Musaf, or is it a kaddish that follows the reciting of psukim that we have before? He said Venucha Yoimar, he said Le David Mizmar, Mizmar Le David, and then we say Venucha Yoimar, we said psukim. So sometimes we recite kaddish following psukim, sometimes we recite kaddish in advance of something that we're going to say. So this is a machlokes. This is a shaila on Rosh Chodesh. When should everybody take off the tefillin? Should they take off the tefillin before the Chazan says the Kaddish, or the Chazan says the Kaddish, you start right away Musaf, because the Kaddish is supposed to introduce Musaf? That's what most told like that. And the common practice is that people take off the tefillin after the Kaddish, before you start the Shemone Esrei Musaf, as if the Kaddish really belongs to the psukim that you said before. It's not really an introduction to Musaf. So because of this machloikas, that's why the Mata Ephraim recommends when the Chazan finishes reciting Hinnei Yoni Mimas, it's all a tefillah, there are no psukim there. So he says the proper thing would be that he should say Gimel psukim, he should say Menuchu Yama softly, not out loud, before he begins to say the Kaddish, because of this machloikas, whether the Kaddish is supposed to introduce the Musaf, or the Kaddish is supposed to follow the psukim that he recited before. There are many more diukim in the tefillah that Rav Soloveitchik introduced, but we'll leave it for another speaker. I want to wish everybody a ksiyah v'chsima teiva. Good given shtiyah.
Every Shabbos
is a rabbi's
for Muslim.
Every Shabbos is a problem talking. So Rabbi Tendler...